And then on three, pause for a bit and do your thing. One, two, three.
Hey,
Hey.
how are you doing?
I'm good. I'm
Good,
good today.
good. So I know this is a little untraditional, but really wanted to take this opportunity to kind of reflect on how much progress you've made and really just give you an opportunity to talk about some of the benefits that have come with you taking care of yourself and reaching out for help. And I know, just an opportunity to kind of tell a little bit of your story. So maybe a good place to start. I don't know, where would you like to start?
So I think for me, the beginning of the whole situation would be beneficial for people to kind of understand at what point I was at and not really recognizing that breaking point. So for me, I had definitely been work saturated. I was at a point where I was co-parenting, however, my spouse was on a night shift, and he had been on a night shift since we had our daughter. And my daughter is currently 10 months old, so really a newborn, and I also have a 2-year-old at home. So as a parent, it was a struggle to try to understand that work-life balance. And I really had some postpartum depression that I hadn't recognized until I became really an emotional disaster. It really becomes like this downward spiral that once it starts, you really can't see any way out of it. And for me, I've always been a pretty high achiever. I'm really, I have a lot of goals. I really take a lot of pride in my job. But at this time, I felt like I was running and just couldn't move forward from anything. It was like I was doing the job but never finishing products. So I was really becoming unproductive, and that would lead to me feeling these horrible feelings of worthlessness and depression, and then taking that home to my family and my kids, taking that home to my spouse, and him not understanding how to react to that. And really, it all came down to this is my fault because I should be controlling how I feel. That is the overall thought process that I had. That was the thought process that my spouse had. That was the thought process my support system had, was that you're in control of your feelings and you need to snap out of it. And so it really took a breaking point where I had talked to my spouse because I was having really damaging thoughts of hurting myself and hurting other people. My kids was the biggest thing. It's very painful to even think about that. But I knew at that moment I really needed to talk to someone and to get help for the issues that I was visually seeing. Not really sure where that could lead. And so I remember I talked to my spouse about it, and it was a very discouraging conversation because it led to me not being supportive at all, because he didn't understand how I could feel that way about my family or about myself. And so at that point, I shut off. Shut myself down and out, didn't let anyone in. And that went on for about 2 weeks until I really became like this dark spiral hole. By that point, I was having physical symptoms. I was dizzy all the time. I thought I was getting sleep, but I wasn't. I was still breastfeeding, and I would wake up constantly throughout the night, and then I wouldn't be able to sleep. I was having insomnia. I wasn't eating appropriately. I was extremely malnourished, but I thought I was taking care of myself, but really I was taking care of everything around me, or trying to take care of everything around me and not focusing on myself. I didn't have a routine set to allow me any time for myself. It was wake up, get the kids up, get ready, get the kids ready, drop off the kids, go to work, work late, skip lunch, maybe eat dinner, get the kids, feed them, bathe them, get them ready for bed. Didn't have a set bedtime for my kids, so they were staying up until I went to sleep. All of us go to sleep, hardly sleep, and do it all over again. So it was something I didn't even realize had really affected me mentally and physically. And by the time that I had realized it, I was having such bad anxiety attacks that it wasn't even something I could physically work through at that point. And so I had gone to the ER because of a PCM phone call to check and see my symptoms, because I thought that I was going through vertigo spells, and they were getting really overwhelming, that I thought that I could be fall over. And they were making me sick to my stomach. I was so dizzy. And by the time that they asked me a lot of different questions, it ended up being more towards anxiety attack, and they directed me to go to the ER. And at that point, I had a very sweet doctor come in and pretty much just ask me how I was doing, and it took just that a little amount of support to make me fully break down and lose it completely. in a good way. She recommended I could stay at the hospital in the mental health area for a couple days if I needed it, that there would be no repercussions of me doing that. She explained the type of service that they have. Really, that was a scary decision to make, because I knew that all of my leadership was going to be contacted about it, and I didn't know how my husband was going to react to it, and overall I didn't know what the Air Force would do at that point. Or always talked about the fact that you can go and get mental health and get assistance with your problems, but I think it's on the back of everyone's mind how that's going to affect your career for the rest of your life. And so I was an emotional mess, but I knew that my family's safety was the most important, and my safety was also important, and so I decided to go and stay there. And at first it was a little scary because they had to process me and make sure I wasn't at risk for anyone or myself. But then once I was able to integrate with the mental health section, mm-hmm. It was extremely rewarding. It was time to myself. It was time to process everything that I was not able to process with the busy life that I was leading. And there was so much support from the person, like a security guard, all the way to the nurse that and processed me, to the front desk, to anyone that came. Everyone was super friendly, and that was pretty much my experience. I stayed for 5 days, and I actually thought about staying longer. There were a lot of options available to me on if I wanted to continue care, like at a different facility for a longer treatment time. There were different discussions on other outpatient options. But I really felt like just those 5 days was enough for me to get in the right headspace, mm-hmm. to be able to get my life back on track. I was not fully okay at that point, but I believe that that's what depression is you're not going to be okay, but at least you have a good way forward on how to engage in the care that you need when you need it. Be able to identify the problems that you're facing and understand that it's not you, it's something that you're going through. I think what you had told me was very vital to me understanding how this affected me, and that was that I didn't choose this. This isn't something that I can control. It's something that I just have to work through.
Yeah, not like laziness or like something you can just muscle through. It's like any treatable condition. Like, we wouldn't tell someone like, oh, you hurt your ankle, it'd be okay, muscle through that. Yeah, it's a condition that you're gonna self-manage and have the bravery to start to look at. And like you mentioned, the loss of sight of other options, like you're like spiraled down. And what happens with depression is exactly what you said. We lose sight of other options, and that suffering is what drives those thoughts. Like, okay, I'm just like, I can't see any other options. So, girl, so much kudos and so much bravery to say, like, I don't see the options. However, the option of suicide, the option of hurting someone is not me. And I know what to do. And even though I'm not even feeling supported, like, I know enough to take care of myself. So, yeah, so brave.
I think one of the biggest aspects of getting the help.
Take a breath.
All right, recording.
You're doing again. So good. Yeah. So you got back. Do you feel comfortable kind of sharing kind of what care was like for you and the kind of steps that you've taken to get back on track and to get back to that quality of life? And
so I think one of the biggest things for me with this whole experience is I knew that I was struggling and I knew that I needed to get help, and I actually had gone to mental health and I had tried to get an appointment and everything. I had let my leadership know, so they were already tracking that, like, I'm not feeling 100%, but I didn't know at what level it was at. Mm-hmm. And I knew it was an issue, and I knew I needed assistance with getting out of my funk, but I didn't know what that meant. And so when I had gone to try to get seen, the appointment was scheduled for a month and a half later. And to me, that was a really long time.
Yeah.
And so I guess my biggest recommendation is, if you really feel like you are going through a really hard, dark time and you need assistance, then advocate for yourself, because no one can advocate better than you can for your needs.
Yeah.
And so I will say that that's pretty much what I did, is I knew that there were things going on and things that weren't right. And so even just calling the PCM line to go and try to get seen by my PCM, the nurse online had directed me to go to the ER. So there are different steps to be able to take to make sure that you are taken care of. Like I had said, I had talked to my leadership and they were aware. My supervisor, you know, I had many conversations with him, and my first sergeant as well. But, you know, directing you to mental health and then actually being seen is different. So just advocate for yourself and make sure that if you do need help, that you get help, however that is.
Yeah. So it sounds like the kind of honesty with what's going on, just saying like, hey, here's exactly where I'm at. Like you said, you weren't even necessarily maybe aware of how bad things had gotten. So, and I love how you said advocate for yourself, because that's like exactly what you need to do. Because yes, we can get in the right situations, get the right level of care, whatever, but like ultimately, like, this is your life, this is your livelihood and your functioning, so we have to advocate, yeah, for ourselves. So that's awesome. Again, I think just like a testament to your strength, yeah, ability to say, hey, this is what I need.
I think that is very difficult to push yourself past your comfortability.
Yeah.
It was definitely uncomfortable to talk about my feelings. It was definitely uncomfortable to outwardly express what I was mentally thinking about. It was uncomfortable because it felt wrong. However, I don't believe any of it is wrong. It's just something that you're going through, and we can't always deal with our health by ourselves, right? You need
broken ankle. You wouldn't be like, can you just heal that yourself?
Right. You need assistance sometimes. And with this depression, I believe that I was probably experiencing it a lot longer than just after my last baby. I think it could have carried from, like, some of it from my son being born.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that I had been carrying this weight with me for a while without even realizing it, and it took a whole bunch of providers to be able to tell me that I was doing an amazing job, that, you know, all of the effort that I had placed, because, you know, I was going to school, I was doing good at my job, I was taking care of people, taking care of my kids. It wasn't like there was anything wrong going on in my life. And I think that a lot of the times we assume that you are depressed when there's something horrible that happens in your life, or that there's not a reason for you to become depressed, to become anxious. But really, it just can come at any time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really important for people to understand is, like I had said before, it's not something you choose. It just happens. And there doesn't have to be a reason for it, which can be even more scary because you're not prepared. You're never prepared for it. And so the fact that you're not prepared for it just shows how much anyone around you would be prepared for it, which made me understand why some of the people in my life were not as supportive as I had hoped them to be.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like you really can't prepare for a situation like that.
Sure.
And so, like you had said, strength, it is difficult to be strong in a situation like that. But like I had said before, it's, you know, if you're not looking at how it affects you, I really had to dig deep and realize how it would have affected my kids. And to me, that was the changing point of me getting help.
Yeah, really thinking about those things that were valuable to you allowed you to kind of break that downward spiral, focus on them. Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. You know, when you think about kind of the progress and the changes that you've made, what things have been helpful to get you to where you are today, really to have the courage to even talk about this?
So I think the biggest thing for me is, so I joined the military 10 years ago, and around that time, I had some bad experiences with going to mental health, and so I think that it really took me, it really took me a long time to feel comfortable trusting the Air Force systems, and I will say that when I went to mental health 10 years ago is night and day compared to the service that I received, like, with this whole process recently. It was definitely more about my health. It was definitely more about what is best for me, how the Air Force can help me be where I need to be, which is not what I had expected. It was not a reprimanding process. It was not, it was not deemed as me being a failure, which I feel like in the Air Force is either you succeed or you fail. It is not that type of system. And I will say that all the leadership that I had along the way has really proved to be supportive in that. But I've also learned how to identify what is wrong. That's probably the biggest thing, is being able to see the warning signs through this whole process. I've been able to understand what depression looks like for me and what normal me looks like, and kind of compare those and understand that when I start to not go to sleep, then something might be bothering me. also, you know, becoming too busy was an easy thing for me to do. So becoming too busy to eat, becoming too busy to sleep, making excuses for taking care of myself. So during this whole process, I've learned that I am important. And with that comes responsibility to myself. And I can't take care of anyone else until I take care of myself. And I am so much happier now to be able to admit that I needed help. I needed help. I got the help that I needed. I am on a process of healing, which isn't something that happens overnight, but I feel good. I feel like this is something that I can work towards recovery on. And I think the most important thing for me is that I have a story that I can share with people, and for people to understand that it's okay to get the help that you need if you need it, and to know that you're not alone, that people experience this, and that it's okay to feel the way that you're feeling, because it is a part of human nature.
Suffering.
Suffering.
Yeah, we all do it, right?
Right.
Yeah. So what do we do with that suffering? Yeah. Yeah, no. Yeah, and I think, you know, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to help you, and for really the whole system to be able to support you. Because you mentioned, you know, I think that is a gift that you have given, you know, to us to allow you to support you so you can go forth and function awesomely in your life and to continue to tell your story. And yeah, so thank you for that.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's also important to understand that it doesn't have to have a negative impact on your career. The biggest thing that I've always assumed with mental health and being seen by mental health is it's on your record in a negative light, following you around forever.
Mm-hmm.
And even before getting seen, that was a huge limfac for me.
Sure.
And one of the main reasons why I freaked out so much to even agree to the decision to go to the mental health facility.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that being said, can you just walk through, so I think people can understand what the process is and yeah. how it affects a military right. member if they are in the program.
Sure, sure. Yeah. Yeah, it's a great question. And I think obviously situations are variable. But ideally, like, our goal is to get service members back to their jobs, back to their lives, back to doing things, because we know treatment works. So somebody comes to us for care for depression, anxiety, PTSD. Those are treatable conditions. So we start a service member in a course of care. Not uncommon for us to maybe put a profile in. And a profile really is put in place not to keep you from doing anything, but to allow for a service member to get care. If you were 3 weeks out, we don't want to send you off, you know, to a new duty location when you've just started care, deploy you. So that's typically why we put in a profile, is we need to make sure someone's stable. They've received their course of care. And then, you know, we reevaluate what we call disposition every time we see a service member. Is this person able to deploy? Is this person able to bear a weapon? Is this service member able to do the duties that the military is asking of them? So it's a weird dynamic for us as providers, because we're providing care. We also have to think about readiness and the military mission. So we try to be as transparent with service members as we can about the process. So we have a profile system, which, you know, I think folks sometimes feel like, well, that's career impacting. It's like, yes, it also serves a purpose. And as you know, we can talk about that. Right. So it's not like I make every decision. It's a two-way conversation. It's also command as well. So we make recommendations to command. So commanders also can make different decisions based on what they see that might be different than our recommendations. And then typically folks get better. Mm-hmm. So we'll see folks improve from depression, improve from anxiety, improve from PTSD, and get back into their course of care, or back into their lives. And typical course of care for service members is variable, but I don't know, most folks are typically better in about 1 to 3 months. So it's kind of, you know, what we talked about at the very beginning, kind of what to expect. So great question. did I answer that?
Yes.
Okay.
And I think, like, the biggest thing is maybe if you could go into a little bit, like, the difference between going to mental health for a normal visit and the difference between being put on a high profile
list. Like the high interest list?
High interest.
Awesome. Okay. So the other thing to think about is typically our communication with command is none. I don't have any reason to talk to a commander. Situations where I do have to talk to a commander, again, it's that kind of the burden of our uniform, is risk of harm to self, risk of harm to other, or significant mission impact. So those are times when we do communicate with command. And then if someone is at higher risk to themselves, another person, maybe some kind of family advocacy situation, they might be placed on the high interest list. And that does require a meeting with command, and we talk about that service member and, like, a kind of multidisciplinary meeting. And then also we ensure kind of contact with that service member each week. It's really just a higher level of care to make sure that all of their needs are met and that everybody's on the same page. And then once someone demonstrates stability, off the high interest list. But typically, we don't talk to leadership at all. So, yeah. The answer to that one?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome questions. Awesome questions. Yeah. There's always obviously special circumstances. So we think about folks with TSSCI, flight status, like those type of things. But again, we're transparent. Those are conversations we have, collaboration, discussion. All of those things are important components of treatment. Like you said, because we want this you to trust the system and to understand. So I think the open communication, like you demonstrated, like this is what's going on, allows us to provide the right level of care for you as well as the military mission. So kind of a, it's a weird thing. But yeah. Anything else? Yeah,
I
think I just think it's awesome to have been able to work with you and to see kind of you work through the system and to have a good experience and have the courage to talk about it. Because again, I think that's like, you know, a gift. So I would encourage you to keep giving.
So I think one of the big things, because you talked about, you know, being placed on a high interest list.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are usually, you put on a profile.
Uh-huh.
So with my situation, I was put on a profile. I had already submitted, for a position through an AMS listing. And through this process, I had a package being submitted, that had already gone through and was already being reviewed and looked at higher levels, when I experienced, my rock bottom of depression. And so, even though I was placed on the high interest list, it was, really rewarding to be able to have that one-on-one conversation with you as a provider to discuss my options when I was notified that I was in the top selection for this position. And so knowing that even though I had this situation happen, it didn't prevent me from moving forward in my career. And I think that's the whole point of what the Air Force is gearing towards right now, mm-hmm. that I think is so important for people to understand, is that you matter, and unless you're taken care of, the Air Force can will suffer.
Right.
If people aren't taken care of, then we're not working at our full potential for the services that the Air Force needs. So by taking care of ourselves, we're providing a service.
Exactly. So by your ability to care for yourself, you're more healthy, your children are more healthy, your spouse, also an active duty service member.
Yes.
Like, I'm guessing everyone's doing better.
Yes.
And then you're better at your job. And now you're able to go forward as well. And really, it's a sign of strength. Like, seeking help allowed you to have this opportunity and to be in a good spot to interview and to move forward in PCS. Had you not gotten help, I can't even imagine how your functioning would be. I don't know.
Me
I don't want to think about it.
Me either.
But exactly. It's exactly what you're saying. Your ability to say, I need help, to ask for that help, and to be willing to receive is allowed you to get better and to continue to do your job.
Right.
So, yeah, awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.